Well, we pick up our study in 1 Samuel, chapter 25, verse 22. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 22 says, so and more also do God to the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that urinates against the wall. When David killed Goliath, he was doing God's work. But this is personal revenge. What he plans on doing to Nabal and his household is just pure revenge. He is furious. Verse 23, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. If David is not merciful, it is all over, and Abigail knows it. Consequently, she humbles herself before him. Every lost soul needs to have that attitude of Abigail before God. There is one hope for any of us. Fall on your face and plead to God for mercy through Jesus Christ. 24. And he fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let your handmaid, I pray you, speak in your audience and hear the words of your handmaid. She is willing to be blamed for her husband's sinful actions. She would rather die than see all the innocent people die of her household. She's willing to lose it all for the good of others. And that is what Jesus did for us on the cross. Too bad it's so often just the opposite with people. Often people say, I want what I want, no matter what it may do to others. 25. Let not, my Lord, I pray you, regard this man of Belial, this worthless man, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom you did send. She's saying, David, don't even think about my worthless husband. Don't regard him. Don't even think about him. Some people are not worth thinking about. Moral reprobates who say foolish things should be ignored as much as possible. They're too foolish to matter. 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, seeing the Lord has withheld you from coming to shed blood and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now let your enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which your handmaid has brought to my Lord, let it even be given to the young men that follow my Lord. Abigail is trying to dig her household out of the pit that her sinful husband put them into. Sometimes people spend a good part of their life trying to get themselves and their family out of the trouble that ungodly people have gotten them into. And if those ungodly people are still causing trouble, then they need to either repent or get out of the way. 28. I pray you, forgive the trespass of your handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in you all your days. She's asking David to forgive her boldness, but she is reminding him that his kingdom, his dynasty, will never end. Verse 29. Yet a man is risen to pursue you and to seek your soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God, and the souls of your enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. She knows Saul is hunting David. I mean, that was common knowledge. But she says, you are as safe as if you were zipped up inside of God's backpack. She says, David, your enemies are going to disappear like stones from a sling. When we belong to Jesus Christ, he puts us in his backpack and he zips us up. Even in times of trouble, he keeps us real close to him. 30. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and shall have appointed you ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood causeless, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember your handmaid. In other words, David, if you go through with this, then you will have a guilty conscience, the guilty conscience of a murderer. Even after God has made you king, you're going to regret this. God's people must be careful not to say or do something sinful while angry. If they do, then after things are normal again, they're going to have a guilty conscience to deal with. Satisfying our sinful passions feels good at the moment, but when everything is over, a Christian feels dirty and guilty and full of regret, and it's just not worth it. 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent you this day to meet me. Those who have the courage to keep us from sin are a gift from God. A person may be frustrated, and they may say, I don't care what you say is right, I'm going to do it. They may feel anger toward the one that's even trying to restrain them. They may feel angry toward that person. But if they're wise enough to hold off, they will one day thank God for that person who stopped them from sinning. You don't always get a clap or a slap on the back and a handshake for trying to tell somebody not to sin, not to do what is wrong in the eyes of God. A lot of times you get a punch in the mouth or a spit in the face. But wise people will listen to wise counsel like that from the Word of God. And one day they will be great, very grateful that they received that counsel from somebody who cared enough to speak the truth. 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your advice, and blessed be you, which have kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. The word for advice means taste, actually. Having a sense of taste is not a luxury, as some people think. It is a necessity. Without the sense of taste, we would get very sick from eating spoiled food. And discernment is spiritual taste. Without it, we would find ourselves in big trouble for making ungodly choices. Discernment is spiritual taste. The kind of spiritual discernment that Abigail had comes from spending time with God. The more of God's word we put in us, the more accurate our spiritual taste buds will be. 34. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, which has kept me back from hurting you, except you had... Whoops, I turned the page. Too many pages. Except you had hasted and come to me, to meet me, surely there had not been left to Nabal by the morning light any that urinates against the wall. God kept David from exploding. And he's grateful. Having a bad temper is not a psychological problem. It is a sin. It is a sin that God can give us victory over. The answer to sinful anger isn't 10 trips to the psychologist. It's not taking a pillow, pretending it's the person you hate, and beating the stuffing out of it. The answer to sinful anger is to draw close to God through the Word of God and through prayer and through praise. If we draw close to God, He says He will draw close to us. And if God is close to us, we won't even think about exploding with anger. It's a spiritual issue. People complicate it. I don't understand why. 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have hearkened to your voice and have accepted your person." David was moved by her humility and pleased with her gift. So he decided not to go through with his plan. 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning. Doesn't pay to talk to a drunk. Their brains are scrambled. If the answer doesn't come from their heart, it comes from the alcohol. You can't really believe anything they say. Abigail had something important to say, but it didn't pay to talk to her drunken husband. So she waited till the morning. 37. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. He became paralyzed, is what that's talking about. Nabal had a stroke when he found out how close he came to being killed. Tough guys are pretty tough about their sin until the Lord brings down the hammer. And you know, one day every single tough guy who thinks they're too cool to repent is going to cry out in terror and look for a place to hide from the Lord Jesus Christ. 38. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. Nabal's stroke was a natural consequence of his sin. Nabal's death came from the hand of God directly. Much of the bad that happens to non-repenting sinners is just a natural consequence to the unnatural behavior called sin. But Nabal's death was God's judgment on him, and it was an act of mercy toward his wife Abigail. She's not connected to him anymore. 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, that has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." It took 10 days, but God delivered justice on behalf of himself and David. He delivered it by himself to wicked Nabal. Last part of verse 39. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him as a wife. Abigail loved God. That was clear to David. And that is what a man like David looks for in a woman. Consequently, he wasted no time. He asked her to marry him. The only way anyone is going to attract a godly person to marry them is for them to be God-focused themselves. If a single person puts God first, and marriage is meant to be for them, God will send them the right person.